One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
To everyone who loves the taste of tradition, come enjoy a classic Wisconsin fish fry at Culver's.
I'm Genesis from Culver's in Claremont, Florida. And here, family fish fry is a part of who we are. We've been serving up fish fry favorites for over 40 years, all thanks to the Culver Family Roots and Wisconsin Supper Club, the place where the fish fry was perfected. If you're craving something crispy on the outside and flaky on the inside, you've got to try our hand-battered North Atlantic cod. It's perfectly seasoned and my personal favorite. Or if you're in the mood for a little extra crunch, our lightly breaded butterfly jumbo shrimp hits the spot every time. Whatever you order, I promise it will be made with love by a team who cares, because we want every guest to feel like family. That's just how we do it in Wisconsin. Dive into delicious with all your fish fry favorites at Culver's.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to delicious.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
That's right. Welcome in to Old School on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. I am your host, Austin Orman, Jay Foreman, out handling business. Appreciate y'all tuning in here on your drive home, whether you're locked in on 93.7 on your FM radio dial, whether you got your app playing through Bluetooth or aux cord, whatever it is, appreciate you being along for the ride. Appreciate the Mercado for their sponsorship of Old School. They got three Lincoln locations, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andermatt. You can also check them out in Omaha at 168th and Maple up there in the OSJ. Foreman would say they have every type of meat and every type of cut. This week's deals, in case you've missed the commercials, $1 off Crisscross pretzels. You can get buy one, get one free hot dogs, and $2 off Piedmontese brats. All worth it. The weather's still nice. It looks like it's going to stay nice for a while. So if you want to bust out the grill yet in February, or even if it takes it till early March, I would highly, highly, highly recommend you stop by any of those three Lincoln or one Omaha Mercado by Certified Piedmontese locations. 402-464-5685. What's on your mind? Let me know. We will get to it. I do want to jump off on our Sartor Heyman Jewelers text line here at that number. Based on that conversation Stricky and I were having to end out on the block, Big Ten reffing, Big Ten officiating, and the like. So Big Hoss says they need to do away with SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, and ACC refs. Just make them NCAA refs. An interesting thought. Part of the reason these conferences hire their own refs is because they do their own vetting. It's something they can take off the NCAA's plate. And I still tend to believe that most of us, if not all of us, like taking things off the NCAA's plate instead of adding more to the NCAA's plate. I don't know how it works in terms of getting officials into the NCAA tournament, but I don't hate what Big Hoss is saying. Can we just have, you know, one pool of officials, you know, for the NCAA instead of dividing them out by conference? So many officials, so many referees are regionally based, which is why you see a lot of the same names pop up over and over again, right? These different leagues tend to pull from their general geographic footprint, which obviously for the Big Ten is a larger geographic footprint now than it was 2 years ago, which is larger than it was, you know, 10 years before that even. So yes, the pool is expanding, but the Big Ten isn't often asking guys to fly in from, you know, west of Colorado to do games, right? For the most part. Yeah, these guys are on jets. They're hopping from place to place, but you'll get them, you know, mostly from border states or within the same time zone, because they're probably working a game the next night or in the next couple days again as well. There aren't very many full-time referees in the NCAA, according to my understanding. I mean, obviously, part of that is the fact that, you know, basketball season only lasts for a handful of months. It isn't necessarily a year-round deal. It's just tricky, though, because I get each league wanting the ability to hire its own refs, right? I am to have to get to pay them through their cutout, the middleman of the NCAA, and just do it yourself. I totally get that. But then I would love to know the NCAA's, you know, criteria for selecting officials to work the NCAA tournament. Does each conference submit its highest graded officials according to its head of officiating, its officiating coordinator, whatever they call that position? Does the NCAA have its own grading system where, you know, if you are a registered official for one of the conferences, you're in the NCAA database, you have to register with the NCAA to become an official and then go to the conference level? I'm not exactly sure how it works, but I do completely understand the fan perspective of not wanting to see the same refs game in, game out. And 99% of fans won't know a single official's name. We have to keep that in mind too, right? The couple that Strick and I brought up by name are because we watch probably too much basketball. We probably watch an unhealthy amount, and that's on us. But you think about DJ Carstensen and Kelly Pfeiffer, those are names you hear a lot. Those are guys you see at a lot of games, whether you're watching, you know, Big Ten basketball, Big East basketball, Big 12 basketball, you'll see those guys. You'll see Kip Kissinger around quite a bit, a guy that drew some ire over the last couple of years, Courtney Green. Courtney Green was the one that I believe it was either whistled CJ Wilcher for a foul or didn't call a foul where CJ Wilcher got accosted when Nebraska was looking to upset Purdue in Lincoln the year before, a couple of years before the Huskers actually ended up taking down the number one ranked Boilers at home, right? And then he would go on and, according to fans, you know, mishandle the end of the Iowa Purdue game as well when I was looking to knock him off. At least I think it was Iowa Purdue. If you know an official's name, something has probably gone wrong, right? We can take this outside of basketball as well. You can look at Jim Joyce in Major League Baseball, right? The guy that blew Armando Galarraga's perfect game. You don't know Angel Hernandez's name because he was a great best of the best umpire. You don't know Joe West because he got 100% of the calls right. You don't know Tim Donaghy for his work on the court. You don't know Joey Crawford because he managed relationships so well. You know them because they were involved in some stuff. You know Joey Crawford because he was flamboyant and very aggressive in making his calls because he wouldn't take any flack from anyone. You know Tim Donaghy because of the gambling scandal. You knew Ted Valentine, who, to be completely fair, actually wasn't a horrible official. If you look at the grading, right? TV Teddy was fine. But the fact that these officials even had a nickname to begin with, right? TV Teddy. You put him on all the big games, he is going to announce his presence at some point. That was just part of the deal. You look at Jeffrey Anderson, Heinies refs, right? Yeah, he's got a condition. Yeah, he's got a stretch. Yeah, he's got to do Heinies. Yeah, that's good for him. But I would really like to not know who Jeffrey Anderson is. He's be, oh, hey, look at that ref that has to do Heinies because he has a condition. Hope he's okay and can stay in shape. But instead, you end up getting a ref show. And I'm not saying the Heinies are the ref show. I'm saying that's besides the point, because the Heinies draw you to him, put more attention on his calls, and a lot of them aren't that good, to be completely honest, right? As a fan, you're left kind of holding your breath. Oh, crap. When's the shoe going to drop? When's the hammer going to hit the nail? When is this call going to come back to bite you? you know, and that's not a good feeling for fans to have. And I haven't, you know, talked to Fred Hoiberg about any of these guys. He would, he'd be diplomatic about it as he is. But every coach has officials they get along with and ones they don't get along with. And let's also not write off the fact that we end up watching a lot more Big Ten basketball than any other conference, right? Despite my Duke basketball rooting interest, despite my show at the Corner 3, I do still watch more Big Ten basketball than I do any other league. And yes, I'm bound to learn those officials, their names, their patterns of calling games maybe a little bit better. But I do think that there is some credence to the fact that the Big Ten might need to address its officiating, not just for the number of times it's come back and you know, bit Nebraska, it's bitten every team in the league at some point. Old Dad 34 on our starter Heyman Jewelers text line, should the Big Ten pay more to get better officials? I really think that's going to end up being part of it. I really do. I think that you have to spend money to make money. And I brought this up with Strick today. I've brought it up multiple times. But you want to shout out one of Lincoln's finest, Garth Glissman, right? Lincoln product, Lincoln guy, who's in a very similar position to Brad Taylor, who we just talked to from the Big Ten. And what Garth is doing is at a similar level over in the SEC. I don't know how much of this was him. I don't know how much of it he was involved with, but he's at the very least kept the ball rolling if he wasn't the one that got it started. What the SEC did was it put an emphasis on scheduling appropriately. The SEC also put an emphasis on officials, not just hiring the best officials and saying, hey, come in and solve our problems for us. It was, hey, come in and work with our coaches, work with our players. We're going to pay for your training. We are going to pay to help you stay at the top of your game because we know that bringing games into question, we know that people paying attention to the officials instead of the players on the floor is not necessarily healthy for the product. And yes, there have been some bad ref shows in the SEC, just like there have been in the Big Ten, as there have been in the Big 12, as there have been in the ACC, as there have been in the West Coast Conference, as there have been in the American. You get the point. But man, I don't know the names of that many SEC officials. I know the name of like one, maybe two ACC officials, and that's Roger Ayers, who, not so sorry for a different time. I'll leave that one alone. But the fact that we can rattle off, you know, four or five names of Big Ten officials that you don't want your team to see. The fact is, whether the Big Ten wants to admit it or not, the officials are a part of the conversation. And I think that it's also fair to admit that being a ref is a little bit of a thankless job. I don't know how much these guys get paid on a game-to-game basis. I know we need to appreciate and thank our high school officials more. I mean, talk about not a full-time job. Shout out to those officials who, you know, do that on the side for a little bit of extra cash. You love the game so much and want to stay involved and do that. I've had my fair share of disagreements with my fair share of referees and umpires in my day. Do not misunderstand me, right? We can always do better. But the way to get them to do better is not to say, hey, be better. The way to get them to improve is to say, hey, we appreciate you for volunteering your time. We're giving you a little extra cash on the side, but as a part of you being an official with the Big Ten, of you being an official with the Nebraska Schools Athletics Association, we're going to get you training. We're going to gather you every year to watch and listen to presentations. We're going to give you, you know, hands-on opportunities to improve your craft. We're going to give you video to review and go over so you can improve. Because throwing money at the problem is part of it, but you have to direct that money properly.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride, prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
The game is on the line, and I've only got a shot clock's worth of time to tell you about Subway's $6.99 foot-long deal. That's right. Order now in the Subway app and get any footlong on the menu for just $6.99. Fresh sliced deli meat, fresh crispy veggies. Ugh, too much good stuff. Get it now on the Subway app. Any footlong for just $6.99. Use code 699FL now. Only here for a limited time. Redeemable at participating U.S. restaurants. Subway app, online orders only. Add-ons, additional plus tax. Additional fees apply on delivery. Excludes footlong snacks. Limited time.
Yeah, you can pay to hire better. But you can also pay to train the ones that you have, because you're always going to need more reps, right? I do have respect for people that go into the field, no matter how much I, you know, disagree with some of their calls. Back to our starter, Heyman Jewelers text line. Let's start with Ellis in Illinois. He says, I can tell you with 100% certainty that there are better referees in high school sports than there are officiating in college. It is so much about who you know and who you're related to. And besides that, the only other thing that will get you fast tracked are some other things. I'm not trying to be out of line here, just telling you the facts that all of us, from the inside, these are the facts. And Ellis, I appreciate you bringing that up, because that's what Strick has said, right? Strick did his fair share of reffing, right? He did it at the junior college level. He went to some clinics, he went to some camps because he was thinking about it. And, you know, Strick's a pretty well-liked guy. It's easy to get along with him. You know, I think he does have a pretty good mind for the game, no matter what he thinks about LeBron James. And I think Jay would echo those sentiments were he here on Old School as well. You know, you're going to have your good officials. You're going to have your bad officials. And Ellis, I would hope that the other factors that you mentioned are mitigated, and they're not true more often than they are true. But Strick would attest that a lot of the game and moving up in refereeing is politics. But isn't that just life? You know, whether it's fair or unfair, I'm not saying settle for it and say, oh, sorry, that's just life, move on with it. Sometimes a good official gets a break, goes on to a great career, you never know his name, but he's really well respected by coaches. Sometimes a great official, you know, there's one up in Pennsylvania, I think I just saw online, that it was reffing for like 50 years. He had reffed his last game and he got a big, you know, retirement send-off from whatever two teams he was reffing the game for. Right. Sometimes your lot in life is to move up all the way to the highest level of your profession. Sometimes your lot in life is to be really good, you know, in the patch of grass you're standing in. And there is value inherent in both of those. We need to appreciate our officials more. We need to support them and make sure that they're properly trained and making sure games are officiated as best they can be. But that would be a lot easier, I think, if fans knew what was going on behind the scenes to make sure that the best of the best were on as many games as possible. That if there is a struggling official, to know what work is going on behind the scenes to make him better. To know that, hey, maybe this is a first or second year ref still learning the ropes of what it is that goes into it. Or this is a veteran, right? You might disagree because it's a call against your son or daughter's team, but it is actually the right call. So it's a fine line. I think all sides can be better about that. Nebraska ball fan, again, on our starter Heyman Jewelers text line. Hey, Austin, I'd never seen an official egg on the crowd to boo him more when they were going to the locker room at halftime until Jeffrey Anderson did it last year in Pinnacle Bank Arena. It's one thing to make bad calls, but it's another to feed into it. Yeah, Nebraska ball fan, I remember that game. I remember Jeffrey Anderson doing that. And part of the problem in the Big Ten is that so many of its games devolve into unwatchable slop far too often, and fans are already kind of antsy and on edge just because the ball's not going in the basket, or you know, a team makes a late run at half that you think was sparked by a call. But yes, what Jeffrey Anderson did, you know, egging the crowd on entirely and completely out of line, right? That's making yourself a character. That's drawing attention to yourself, making the show about you when it shouldn't be. It's one thing if you're going back and forth to a courtside fan or two that are giving you a hard time. You know, it's all in good fun. It's another thing to, you know, be joking about it. But man, that was a really tough look for Jeffrey Anderson, who, again, I don't know personally. But holy cow, that was a step and a half, two, three, four steps too far. Knowing what you're doing to that degree, egging it on, making yourself a central character, that's not just a joke. Even if you thought it was funny and he did it lightheartedly, that's not right. And whether or not he meant ill by it, it reflects a certain way on him for him having done that. It's not a good look, and I'm sure it was addressed at some point. But no, you're right, Nebraska ball fan. That's not a good look. Tommy says, I believe the right move is to make officials full-time employees, and they're constantly training in the offseason. The best and most experienced officials should take the Power Conference games. Newer officials should be on crews with more experienced officials. And see, this is where, Tommy, I really appreciate your thoughts here. I'm going to try to be as nuanced as I can about this, right? I mean, yes, absolutely, it should be a meritocracy. And I think Ellis brought up the fact that far too often it's political. In many ways, it's, you know, it's what's the word I'm looking for? Nepotist to some degree, right? Who do you know versus what you know? And I think on the one hand, hey, that's how the world has always worked. Does it always have to be that way? No, we can always strive for a more meritocratic system, but it's never going to be perfect. I do think that the NCAA for March Madness, especially the Final Four, I think the NFL for the Super Bowl, Major League Baseball for the World Series, the NBA for the Finals. I think what they do is they assemble, for the most part, an all-star crew. Maybe the NFL keeps its best crew that grades out throughout the year, and that crew stays together and works together. But I know that baseball doesn't just say, oh, here's the one best crew, here's the lineup, this is who you get. I know baseball pulls from, you know, various different crews, and the umpires that they grade out the best throughout the course of the season, those are the ones that end up working the World Series, right? I do hesitate too, though, to just say put the best refs on the Power Conference games and leave the rest to the mid-majors, because here's the thing, even though there might be more attention paid to, you know, Power Four Big East basketball than mid-major basketball, if there's a good ref in the area, it makes a whole heck of a lot more sense to keep a really good ref on a Summit League game, on a Mountain West game, than to fly them, you know, from their home base in Utah all the way out to an SEC game. Or if there's a really good ref in New York, you know, reffing some A-10 basketball up at Fordham, why would you fly him from an A-10 game all the way to an Arizona State game, right? You still have to break it up regionally just because of the sheer number of games. And honestly, in some cases, the sheer lack of numbers of officials. It's not exactly a booming profession, which is another reason why you see a lot of the same people involved in reffing games. So, yes, maybe within a region you could do that. Making them full-time, though, in theory, it sounds great. I don't know if the logistics behind the scenes are in place to make that possible. John and Cortland, good to see you today. Appreciate your thoughts. My dad asks, what do you think about having refs be made to answer questions at a post-game press conference? Whew. I think that goes both ways. I think first and foremost, I wish that we knew the rules well enough to raise the legitimate complaints or defer to the refs when they lay down the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law. I think it's completely valid. I think it's completely fair to, you know, have refs available for questioning. Like, why was this call made? What's the rationale for that, to have someone there that they would ask what Strick would? Like, what did you see in this situation that was maybe different from a previous situation? The harm in that is, what do you expect them to say and what do you expect them to do? Because at that point, it's too late. And whether it's, you know, you make all three available for the post-game press conference, I doubt that would happen. I know the NFL and the NBA have tried that with pool reporters before, where you get to talk to the head of the crew and one reporter is selected to ask them questions and get explanations. But I will just default to what Matt Rhule said. Even if we hear from the officials, you know, what are they going to do about it? Matt Rhule said he was tired of receiving, I'm sorry, letters on Sunday from the Big Ten Conference. Yes, there needs to be accountability, but I don't think the best form of accountability is making refs answer questions after the game, especially because 90% of the time plus, it would be negative. It would be, you know, why did you miss this call? What do you think about this missed call? And whether it's conscious or not, officials would get defensive about that, and I think deservedly so. To me, the better form of accountability is, yeah, sure, keep sending in calls to the league to review with their officials, give them another chance or two at it, make it wait till the end of the season or whatever. But the best sort of accountability won't come with a pool reporter after the game. The best form of accountability will be, hey, if you like working Purdue, Michigan State and Mackey Arena, be a good official. If you want to ref the big game at the Big House for Ohio State and Michigan the day after Thanksgiving, be a good official. If you want to call balls and strikes in the College World Series, get calls right. If you don't, hey, sorry, maybe we do have to send you to the MAC. Maybe we do have to put you on a Washington Northwestern game, for example, this year, just pulling it out of nowhere, right? That to me is the much better, much more consistent form of accountability that I can't fully speak to because I don't know what the disciplinary processes look like. And of course, if the league sees these missed calls truly as missed calls, I don't know how strict they are. I don't know how much lenience they give, how much officials get the chance to explain their calls or lack thereof. They're the obvious ones. And we've seen officials, you know, taken off of games, taken off of crews for missing them. But I do think that whether you look at, you know, in a lot of cases, the leagues that hire these officials, I think you can put this in the, you know, public or private sector too, with unions, their job is to stick up for their people. And unfortunately, a lot of times the first reaction in terms of sticking up for the people turns into getting defensive and wanting to give a second chance to someone who's struggling. And who knows with what degree of additional training, right? When really what might be best for the product in the big picture is, hey, it really stinks to let you go because you've been around for 17 years, but hey, the performance is slipping. It's not good enough. We have a brand, a reputation to uphold. There have been a couple high-key incidents with you lately that we just can't afford. So we're not going to, you know, kick you out or anything. We're going to, you know, try to fade you into the background till you can prove to us over the course of a year, a couple years that, hey, nope, I got it. I understand these rules, these situations. I'm getting them right now. And then you can pop back up to the big games. That is probably my preferred method of accountability. So how plausible it is, how realistic it is, I don't know. It would be awesome to get a peek behind the curtain and see what goes into it and see if the Big Ten grades its officials the same way its fans does. I don't know. We'll go to break. We'll continue with Old School, brought to you by the Mercado, in just a moment.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Sometimes things get in the way. Big obstacles. Little setbacks. But you keep going. Through the grind. The long nights. With flexible pathways. Online, hybrid, and in-person. Indiana Wesleyan University gives you accessible tuition with world-class connections. Where there's a will, there's a way. And with Indiana Wesleyan, there's a way forward. Start today at discovertheway.com.